Darius Kemp, thanks very much for talking with us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
The film The Mask You Live In hopes to challenge some of the stereotypes about men and masculinity in our society. What are some examples of those stereotypes?
You know, society has a way of making everything that men and boys do about proving themselves. Boys and men are encouraged to challenge each other and compete for dominance and control all the time. In our film, for example, Joe Ehrman mentions the three lies that society tells tells men and boys. One, that their masculinity is defined by their sexual prowess, how many people they are engaging with in that way, the amount of money they have, the cars, the houses, the clothes, the things of that nature. And then thirdly, how physically fit or good you are at sports, how tough are you? Are you that tough guy? And so society tells us that masculinity is defined by those three things, when in actuality it is not. And even in my experience, coming from the Black community, in my experience, society oftentimes looks at me in the stereotypes of hypersexuality and questioning my intelligence. So that's the issues that a lot of men and boys face. And then when you add in layers of class and different ethnic groups, it does kind of layer on additional complexities to this problem. But those are some of the stereotypes and lies, basically, that our society kind of ingrains and embeds in young men and boys.
How much do regional differences play into people's perceptions of masculinity? For example, like we're in a very rural area here. How much do you think people in rural areas, men in rural areas, that is, may be perceived differently and have different stereotypes associated with them than in urban areas?
Well, you may not know this. I know for a fact you don't know it. But I am from Alabama originally. That's my home state, Roseide. So I come from a rural area, and I was born and raised around rural areas. So for me, these regional differences are very important. But I also see the importance of social class and ethnicity intersecting with these rural issues as well. Because even in rural communities, these additional identities create contradictions on top of contradictions. So I remember when I was growing up, for example, it was expected of me that most of the boys and young men in school would play football or play basketball, mm-hmm. or something like that. Because in small towns and in rural parts of America, Friday night football is for high schools is one of the main activities you got going on. And so that for me was really tough because I was also gay. I'm also a gay man. So for me, I really didn't want to be seen as feminine or weaker. And so I had to cover up a lot of those aspects. And so, you know, in rural communities, that is kind of a problematic or difficult thing that a lot of people have to go through, especially men and boys. What if you're not into sports? What if you're not into, you don't have to be gay or queer. Like, what if you just like computers or want to dance or like to sing? Those things are oftentimes seen as weaker or more feminine and are negated in many communities because they aren't the stereotypical toughness that we expect from men. And I see that a lot, particularly in rural communities, because of just the limited amount of resources and variances that exist there in terms of businesses and places to go and things to do. And so it's a little bit more of a concentrated, these issues are a lot more concentrated in rural areas.
Sure. When you talk about, you mentioned football, and that's something that comes to mind for me as sort of like a quintessential, a lot of people think of it as like a quintessential American tradition. How has masculinity changed in the 50 or so years that have passed? I think of, you know, 50 years ago, that's sort of like the quote unquote, you know, way things used to be. Men played football, girls were cheerleaders, etc. How is that different now?
Yeah, you know, society still tells us the same messages. That's the that's the tough part. If we look at advertising for toys for boys or products for men or even in our civil society and government, right, we still are told the same messages we were told 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And while corporations in our government are evolving, they are changing. We have been working with and partners with many organizations that are trying to evolve and change how they advertise and represent men and boys on film, on media and advertisements and in other ways. I'm proud to say, though, that I've noticed the real changes in our society, in our concept of masculinity, has actually come from stay-at-home dad groups. I remember engaging with a national network of stay-at-home dads and their partners, their female or male or their other partners will go out and earn work out in the world while they stay at home and take care of the kids or the family or the household or whatnot. Teenage boys that have discussion groups about their feelings in high school. In our LGBT community, I've noticed they are deeply engaged in reforming and reshaping how we look at gender and sexuality and our own identities. And so for me, with each new generation, a deeper understanding of these issues is just added to our common collective. And we need to keep pushing these issues day by day, because the more we push them, the more inclusive and a better society we're going to have.
I want to talk about the screenings of the film in particular. The film is putting across these ideas. How have audiences responded to the argument in the film?
You know, amazingly well. People from all backgrounds really resonate with the films. The themes are universal because everyone in society is a victim of toxic masculinity. It doesn't just affect boys, it affects women as well. In fact, in nearly every screening, someone comes up to us and says, "The film has changed my life. I'm going to go home and tell my son I love him for the first time. I'm going to hug him. I'm going to kiss him." They're going to show emotions. The film really opens up people's eyes to causes and consequences to these gender norms. And that's just heartwarming. And it's one of the best feelings to have. And it's why I love my job so much.
Have you ever had men get defensive or angry?
You know, I actually have. And that defensiveness a lot of times just comes from, I think, two main places. I think it comes from a various number of places. But in my experience, I think there are two main places it comes from. One is just kind of ignorance or, they just don't know. They only know what they've been taught, and so they just don't know these other forms, these new burgeoning ways of masculinity that society is embracing. I think the other thing is that, values are tough things to alter or change for people or to enlighten them about. And it's really a lot of times when people, well, even myself, when we are faced with something that contradicts something we deeply believe in, there is a bit of defensiveness that happens. But the great thing I can say is that even with that, we have proactive and positive conversations. And so even when I do run into guys or even women that are defensive about what they think masculinity should be, and we should go back to the old ways of masculinity and guys should be tougher or whatnot, I've seen growth and evolution in their thought processes, and they understand that, yeah, it's okay for a guy to cry, or they change a little bit. So there's a little defensiveness, but people do learn from our conversations we have.
We only have about 1 minute left here, but just in a few words, and this film is part of a larger project called the Representation Project. Can you describe that?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit organization that changes attitudes and behaviors around gender with our documentary films, The Masculine In. Also, our other film, Misrepresentation, it's a great one. You should check that one out as well. After seeing them people's eyes are open. They can't unsee the harmful effects that these stereotypes have on them, and they want to do something to make a change. That's where the nonprofit part comes in, with the ways that we give people to take action. So we have a curriculum for both of our films, The Mask You Live In, as well, that you can use in your schools and community groups. There's online activism. If you go to our website, www.therepresentationproject.org, you can get involved and take action. You can go to Facebook right now if you're a young person and sign up for our Be a Rep Facebook group and get involved that way. Corporations, if you work in a business or a corporation, you can screen our film. Talk to your HR or diversity team to have them screen our film at your workplace so you can talk about these issues. And then also public awareness campaigns around issues around DACA and the intersectionality around gender and immigration and gender and toxic masculinity and immigration and other things. So we're always having these conversations around public awareness around these issues. So you name it, we're activating our community to build a more and just equitable culture.
Darius Kemp is Director of Mobilization at the Representation Project. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.